Everybody likes to visit together, and that's good. It'd be bad if everybody came in with a sour face and looked at each other and didn't speak, so. It is on here. It's on. That's the sure test. Good to see everybody. Good to be able to come out. We're in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 begins answering questions that they had and concerns that they had. Chapter 11 through chapter 14 deals with abuse in worship. Chapter 11, of course, the abuse of the Lord's Supper, the abuse of the women and the spiritual gifts of prophesying and praying, and that spiritual gift abuse continues in chapter 12, chapter 13, and chapter 14. Chapter 13, Paul's showing them a better way, and that better way is to love one another. Because if we love one another, what are we going to do? We're going to seek each other's good, okay, above our own. And that was a problem that they had. They had a problem that, you know, they wanted to do things their way. And until we want to do things God's way, more than we want to do things our way, we're going to have a problem. And they wanted to do things their way. And we see that in the religious world today, unfortunately. So let's begin with a word of prayer. Daryl, would you lead us in prayer? Appreciate that prayer. You know, we're meeting in a nice building this morning, and it's heated and it's air conditioned and very comfortable padded pews, and that's not so the world over, as Daryl prayed for the church the world over. Some are meeting under trees, and some are meeting with thatched roofs and no sides, and so we're very, very fortunate and very, very blessed. But they're our brothers and our sisters in Christ that we need to be praying for. So in chapter 12, we began last week the first three verses. Paul is dealing with the abuse of spiritual gifts. And in chapter 13, he addresses their envy and their jealousy that they had over each other and continues the abuses that they were giving. So Paul in verse 1 expresses his concern and the fact that he doesn't want them to be ignorant concerning these spiritual gifts that they had. So he, first of all, in the first 11 verses, emphasizes the spiritual gifts. Though they're different, they're diverse, they come from the same God, and that they're for the benefit of each and every one. Then in verses 12 through 27... he talks about the fact that everyone and every spiritual gift is important. And he compares the church to the body. And we'll talk about that some when we get to that. And then in verses 28 through 31, he closes the chapter pointing out that all these gifts each and every one serve the same purpose, and encouraging them to earnestly desire the best gifts, because it seems like the gift that they were putting the most emphasis on was the gift of speaking in tongues. And it really didn't matter if there was anyone there to interpret those tongues or not. They just get up and speak in those tongues. Well, what did that edify? It didn't edify anybody. It wasn't for the good of anybody. So whatever their spiritual gift was, to desire the best gifts, and yet he says, I show you a better way, a more excellent way, in verse 13, that being the way of love, as chapter 13 we know as the chapter on love. So let's read those three verses again. Chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not that you have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away unto those dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man, speaking by the Spirit of God, calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. So no doubt this was written to answer the questions, as we talked about. Paul doesn't want them to be ignorant. He wants them to think about these spiritual gifts. He wants them to think about why they have spiritual gifts. You know, spiritual gifts were bestowed, we talked last week, on Christians in the first century, that the gospel might be believed, that it might be believed that it was indeed the Word of God. And so he wants them to know from whom these gifts came, why they have them, and what the purpose of them is. And the chapter closes with Paul pointing out that we all serve the same purpose. We all serve the same function. We all serve the same God. So God gave these spiritual gifts, as we talked about last Sunday, to the apostles. How? Through direct operation of the Holy Spirit, okay? Jesus had promised them before his crucifixion that he would send them a comforter. And that comforter would guide them into all truth, for he would not speak of himself, but whatsoever he heard, that would he speak, and he would show them things to come. So in Acts chapter 2, we see that coming to pass. And those were abilities to speak in tongues. We know in Acts chapter 2, verses 4 through 6, the Holy Spirit came on them. They began to speak in tongues. We know those were languages, because those people heard them speak in languages of their home country, because this was the day of Pentecost. People had gathered around from all over the world. And so it wasn't some gibberish that they were speaking that nobody could understand. It was languages that they spoke in that they normally wouldn't be able to speak in, so that people could understand them. They had the gifts.
They hadn't learned.
They hadn't learned these languages, right. In Acts chapter 4, the Sanhedrin marveled that they were able to speak like they were, because they knew they were ignorant men. They weren't learned men. And they marveled because they knew that they had been with Jesus. So they could speak in tongues. They had the gift of knowledge. They had the ability to heal. They had the ability to raise the dead. We know that Peter raised Dorcas, right, in Acts chapter 9. We know that Paul raised Eutychus when he fell out the window in Acts chapter 20. So they had these spiritual gifts, but as we spoke of at the end of class last Sunday, no one else received these gifts through the miraculous direct operation of the Holy Spirit. How did they receive them? Through the laying on of hands of the apostles, right? We see that in Acts chapter 6, where they chose the 7, and the apostles laid their hands on them and imparted to them the Spirit. We see it in Acts chapter 8, where Philip went down to Samaria, and the apostles went down to Samaria and laid hands on them and departed to them the Holy Spirit. We see Paul telling Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 6, reminding him of the gifts of the laying on of his hands and imparting to him gifts of the Holy Spirit. And there's no other way given in Scripture where others receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And we've talked about the fact that people today who claim to be prophets, who claim to have the Holy Spirit dwelling in them, who claim to be able to heal and those kind of things, that's not something that came from the Holy Spirit, because all the apostles are dead. They can't lay their hands on anybody today. The Holy Spirit doesn't operate miraculously on anyone today to guide them into prophecy or healing or whatever. And we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, where in verses 8 through 10, where Paul said, those things are going to pass away. Whether they be prophecies, they shall fail. Were you going to say something, Chuck?
When you're done, yeah.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, you brought up last week, there was two occasions where it was directly, Acts chapter 2, the apostles, Acts chapter 10.
On Cornelius, right? But we have no record forward from that where Cornelius or any of those people who were there were performing miracles, right? So there's no record of that. So did they receive the gift of the Holy Spirit in the same measure that the apostles did? No, right? But thank you for pointing that out. That's exactly right. Did the ones who the apostles laid their hands on receive the Holy Spirit to the same degree the apostles did? No. And we see that. They could not pass it on, and that's what we're talking about, exactly. So when we look at this later on in the chapter, Paul lists 9 spiritual gifts, okay? Not every one of these Corinthians had all 9 of these spiritual gifts. They had different gifts, and these different gifts serve different purposes, but I'm getting ahead of myself. But they were meant to be temporary. They were going to pass away. He said, when that which is perfect is come, in chapter 13, verses 8 through 10, that which is in part is going to be done away. Because they didn't have the complete revelation of God's word at the time, right? This was the beginning of the church. The church was in its infancy. These things that the Spirit imparted to these people, now, I can't hardly speak English, much less any other language, but there are no languages of speaking in tongues or interpreting in tongues or whatever today. But the gifts of knowledge, the gifts of wisdom, the gifts of discerning, those kind of things, we get today from God's word, which they didn't have, so they received them miraculously. And again, I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but we'll talk about those things. So Paul is writing this so that they can understand and so that there is not any confusion on spiritual gifts. And he reminds them in verse 2 of their past when they served idols. And he calls these idols what?
Dumb.
Why were they dumb?
They weren't alive.
They were made out of wood and precious metals and stone and those kind of things. They couldn't think. They couldn't speak. They couldn't act. They couldn't impart gifts. They couldn't impart blessings of any kind because they were inanimate. They weren't alive. And he reminds them of this. And so he says, basically, here's the test. Are those who claim to be prophets or possess gifts, are they speaking the truth? He says, you know, no one can say that Jesus is Lord but through the Spirit. False teachers are going to deny who? They're going to deny Christ. If you're an idol worshiper and you're a false prophet for an idol, are you going to confess Christ? Absolutely not. But if I'm speaking from the Spirit of God, I'm not going to call Jesus a curse. I'm going to what? I'm going to bless God. I'm going to bless Jesus. I'm going to call Jesus Lord through the Spirit. So in contrast to these dumb idols that can't speak, that can't act, that can't do, you're serving a what? a living God, a God that's active, a God that blesses, a God that you can give honor and praise to, okay? So this is what Paul is saying, I want you to understand. This is what we're talking about. So let's read verses 4 through 7. And I'm reading from the King James. I like to read from New King James. I like to read from the American Standard. I like to read from the English Standard. But when I'm teaching, I guess I'm just old school. I'm old and I can't change. When I teach, I teach from the King James. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. So there are diversities of gifts, verse 4, but the same Spirit. And he says there are differences of administration, verse 5, but the same Lord. And then he says in verse 6, there are differences of operations. American Standard calls them workings. The English Standard, I think, calls them activities, but the same God. So these different gifts serve different purposes and accomplish different things, but they all serve the same God from which they came. So the differences in the gifts and in the administration of them and in the operation of them, all these gifts were given through the same Spirit by the grace of God for the purpose of service and given by the power of who? By the power of God, right? So they were from the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They were given by the Spirit through the power of the Father to glorify the Son, and they were intended for what? For edification, to service, to help, and to strengthen the saints, the church. So even though there were different gifts that were given for different purposes, they were given to individual men that they might be for the profit of all. So they weren't given for personal gratification. They weren't given, okay, I've got the gift of prophecy. All right, or I've got the gift of tongues. That gift wasn't given me to elevate me above anybody else. The gift of knowledge wasn't given to Chuck to elevate him above anybody else. The gift of speaking in tongues wasn't given to James to elevate him above anybody else. He's not any important than anybody else. So that wasn't the reason for these gifts being given. They weren't given for the personal glorification of anybody. They were given to help the church because the church was in its infancy and they didn't have the Word of God like we have today. So they were to be regarded as sacred gifts from God to be used to glorify God, to edify, to teach, and to build up the church. Well, just like the Corinthians had forgotten the purpose of the Lord's Supper, they also had forgotten the purpose that they were given these gifts for. And that was the glorification of God and to build up the church. So there shouldn't be any spirit of competition. There shouldn't be any spirit of disunity among the brethren if they're using these gifts in the right way. But they weren't. And that's the problem. So as we look at verses 8 through 10, Paul lists 9 different gifts of the Spirit. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, and another concerning discerning of spirits, to another divers kinds or different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh at one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. So there was the gift of wisdom. Now, wisdom would have been the ability to apply knowledge, okay? One of the gifts was the gift of knowledge. So they didn't have God's word again. So some had the gift of knowledge of God's word. Some had the gift of wisdom to be able to interpret and apply that word to whatever situation were to come up. You know, when we have situations that come up today in the church, how do we solve those situations? I think, no, it's not what I think, it's what? It's what the Word of God says, right? So they had gifts of wisdom, they had gifts of knowledge, they have gifts of faith. Now, all men have faith, right? But this would have been faith that would have given them strong faith to be able to stand in the face of adversity, I think. And so we get that faith today through what? Through God's word and trust in Him. We get knowledge through what? Through God's word, right? If we just open it on Sunday, Chuck, do we get that knowledge? If we just open our Bibles on Sunday, do we get that knowledge? I think I've heard you say that a time or two, right? So we get wisdom through what? Through applying God's word, right? They got it miraculously. We get it today through God's word and trust in Him. They had the gifts of healing, the power to heal people of their diseases. And they had the gift of miracles. Now, there would have been other miracles that they were able to perform, okay? That was 2,000 years ago. So we don't know exactly what all those miracles were. Were they able to raise people from the dead? Were they able to do other things? We don't know, okay? And they had the gifts of prophecy, the ability to teach God's word and maybe to foretell events, okay? But the ability to teach God's word, and they were had those who were, had the gift of being able to discern spirits. So the discerning of spirits to be able to tell if that's a false teacher or not, to be able to discern. We're able to discern today how? Through God's word, through a study of God's word. If we have somebody and they come in and they're teaching something that's not right or doesn't sound right, how do we know that? How do we discern that? We discern that through God's word. And if we don't know God's word, we're not able to discern that, we got a problem. So the gifts of knowledge, the gifts of wisdom, the gift of being able to discern. And then they had the different kinds of tongues and the interpretation of those tongues. Because as we get into chapter 13 and chapter 14, if somebody's speaking in tongues and there's nobody to tell the congregation what he's saying, what good is it? Doesn't do any good. So there were gifts that they had that were important to the time, the speaking in tongues, the gifts of prophecy, those kind of things, the gifts of healing, the gifts of miracles, to confirm God's word. But then you had the gifts of knowledge and wisdom and discerning and those kind of things to build their faith and to give people faith that were because they didn't have God's complete revelation, which we have today. So we get those things in a different way. And again, the speaking in tongues wasn't just some gibberish. The speaking in tongues were different languages because this is Corinth. What is Corinth? It's a melting pot from people. It's a hub, okay? It was a crossroads. You know, you had one seaport over here, and you had one seaport over here, and it was in the middle, and so you had all these diverse people. You had Greeks, you had Jews, you had all kinds of nationalities, So people would have been speaking all kinds of different languages. So God gave them language that they could speak so people could understand, just like they did in Acts chapter 2. But it wasn't some gibberish. When you see a priest today speaking in tongues on TV, he's not speaking the gift of tongues that the Spirit gave to these people. We understand that, I know. So all these, verse 11, were given from the same Spirit for the common purpose, he says, as God distributed to every man. Then in chapter, or verses 12 through 26, he uses the body to describe the church, right? Let's read those verses, 12 through 26. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. We're all one. We're baptized into one body. Ephesians chapter 4 talks about the oneness, right? There's one God, there's one baptism, there's one Spirit, there's one Lord, there's one church. So we're baptized into one body by one Spirit, whether we're Jews, whether we're Gentiles, whether we're slaves, whether we're free, and we've all been made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Just because the foot says, I'm not of the body, doesn't mean it's not of the body, right? It's still part of the body. Verse 16, and if the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, I'm not of the body, is there therefore not of the body? If the whole body were the eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the hand to the foot, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, unto these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, and hath given more abundant honor to the part that lacked, that there should be no schism, no division in the body, but that the members should have the same care one of another, and whether one member suffer, all the members suffered with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. So Paul uses the body here to explain the Lord's church, right? My body has different parts. Okay, if I didn't have legs and feet, I couldn't walk. He's given me arms and hands to be able to work, right? He's given me eyes to see and ears to hear and a nose to smell and breathe and all the inward parts that keeps the body alive. Well, if I didn't have a foot, I couldn't walk. If I didn't have hands, I couldn't work, right? If I didn't have eyes, I couldn't see. And when one of those parts of the body hurts, what happens? The whole body's in sympathy with it, right? What's that? Yes, yes, yes. You want to pick it up and stick it in your mouth and suck it, but I hadn't been able to do that in a long time, and you hadn't either. But anyway, the point is, when something's wrong with one of the parts of our body, the whole body is in sympathy with that. And each part of our bodies has a function. And that function is important. And you think, well, maybe I don't need a big toe. But if you don't have a big toe and you're walking, then you lose your balance. So every part of that body is important. And that body works in unity with one another, right? I have a brain to control all those parts of my body that function together. And if my body didn't function together, I wouldn't be up here this morning teaching this class. If your body didn't function together in perfect unity with one another, you couldn't function. So we understand that. Paul equates that to the church, right? Each and every one of us have a function. And specifically here he's talking about the spiritual gifts. That each gift has a purpose. Each gift has a function. And that function is to support the body. And if that part of the body is not in perfect unity with the rest of the body, what happens? You got disunity, right? So what was the problem in Corinth? They weren't functioning in unity with one another. You know, back in chapter 1, he talks about the fact that they were carnally minded. In chapter 3, he talks about the disunity that they had. And the whole book pretty much is talking about the problems that they had, and those problems were because they were worldly minded instead of spiritually minded, and because of that, they weren't unified. So here's a body, and it's dysfunctional because it has those who are elevating themselves above others, abusing the spiritual gifts, abusing the Lord's Supper. And he said in chapter 11, because of that, many are weak and some of you are dead. Not dead physically, not weak physically, but spiritually you are dead. Now, I would hate for Paul to tell me that I'm dead spiritually. So they had a problem. So basically in verses 27 through 30, he says, you are the body of Christ and members in particular. It takes each and every one of us, regardless of our abilities, regardless of what we can do, or regardless of what we can't do, it takes each and every one of us to make up the body of Christ. And no one, regardless of who you are, regardless of where you are in your life as a Christian, regardless of what your abilities are, no one is unimportant in the Lord's kingdom. We need to remember that. Now, that doesn't mean that we should stay where we are. We need to be doing everything that we can, right? But he says in verse 28, and God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondly prophets, thirdly teachers. Now, we don't have apostles today. We don't have prophets today. We have teachers today. After that, miracles and gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do all have the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? I think it's kind of interesting here that they were elevating the use of tongues, and he puts it what? He puts it last, right? Do all have the same gifts? No. Because they all had different functions. They all had different results, but all were for the glory of God in the building up of the congregation. But he says in verse 31, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show unto you a more excellent way. So you're the body of Christ. You're individual members in it. God has appointed various functions in the church. And these rhetorical questions illustrate that not everyone has the same function. So we are all one in Christ. We all are servants of the Lord. we're all servants of one another as we serve each other and doing the Lord's will and carrying out the Lord's work. We humbly serve Him. We humbly serve one another as we work for the good of all. And again, it takes each and every one of us to do the Lord's work. You're here today to be encouraged, to be uplifted, to praise and glorify God, and to hear His word taught. And your being here is an encouragement to each and every one of us. If we're not here, we don't encourage one another, right? So we're here to encourage, we're here to be encouraged, and we're here to glorify and praise God. And it takes each and every one of us to do that. And each and every one of us is important, but not one of us is more important than the other. We serve different functions. We do different things. That's the lesson that Paul is trying to teach here, that each is important, but one's not more important than the other. Do we tend to elevate some people? We got preachers, we got elders, we got... No, we're all servants of God, all serving one another to do the Lord's will. And all of us are important in that. And we could go and look at Ephesians chapter 4, but we don't have time to do that this morning. But there's one body, there's one spirit, there's one Lord. And we serve each other together in unity, looking toward that goal of being in heaven one day. Next week, Daryl will take over with chapter 13 and 14. Bob will finish up the book in chapter 15 and 16. Then we'll go on into 2 Corinthians. And then the plan is after that to go into Hebrews. Chuck on Wednesday night when he finishes the lessons from Proverbs will go into Revelation, which will pretty much finish the study of the New Testament. And after that, we'll probably start back over in Genesis, but at the rate we go, that's probably a couple of years from now. So, thank you. Appreciate everyone's attention this morning.